All right, so we're diving into Booker T. Washington's Up From Slavery today.
Yeah, it's an autobiography, but it really gives you a look at race relations and education and self-reliance.
At a really, pivotal moment in American history.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes you think about how relevant these themes still are.
It really does, yeah. And especially as we're thinking about, thinking and acting locally, how individuals can make a difference.
Washington's experiences offer, a really unique perspective on that, don't they? So how does Up From Slavery connect to that whole think and act locally idea?
Well, his journey starts with something that a lot of us take for granted now, right?
Right.
Education.
Right.
He was born into slavery, and he had this, burning desire to learn how to read, even without teachers, without schools. He just really, really wanted to learn.
It's pretty amazing how driven he was.
Yeah.
He just didn't let those circumstances dictate his future. Right. What do you think it was that, gave him that drive?
It's hard to say for sure, but you can really feel the urgency in his writing.
Yeah.
Deeply believed that education was the key to a better life, and not just for himself,
yeah,
but, for his whole community.
That's a powerful thought. It's not just about personal gain. It's about lifting up the people around him, right?
Hmm.
And speaking of community, his journey to Hampton Institute kind of speaks volumes about the challenges and the opportunities that he had.
Absolutely. He had to overcome so much, financial struggles, prejudice, even just outright discrimination.
Just to even get to the school?
Yeah, to get there. It's just a stark reminder of the barriers that, Black Americans faced seeking education.
And still face in many ways. Yeah.
And still face, right.
Yeah.
But, at the same time, his time at Hampton really shows the power of people who create opportunities for others,
Like Armstrong, right.
Exactly. General Samuel Armstrong. He was the headmaster. He recognized something in Washington and gave him the chance to learn and grow.
That mentorship was a turning point for Washington, don't you think?
Hmm.
It seems like it really shaped his whole philosophy on education and leadership.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Armstrong really instilled the importance of practical education in him, which we'll see becomes the foundation for his work at Tuskegee.
All right, so let's get into Tuskegee a bit. That's a story of building something from practically nothing, isn't it? What were some of the initial challenges that Washington faced when he was trying to get this school going?
Oh, man, he had almost nothing to work with, just a rundown building and only a few students. There was a lot of skepticism from the white community and even some pushback from Black parents who weren't so sure about industrial education.
So there were different perspectives even within the Black community.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really interesting. What were some of those different perspectives?
Well, some people felt that industrial education, which focused on practical skills like farming or carpentry, that it was kind of limiting. They thought that it was basically relegating Black people to manual labor instead of, preparing them for higher education, professional careers, that kind of thing.
Sounds like a pretty complex issue with no easy answers.
Yeah, yeah.
What were Washington's arguments for industrial education then?
He believed that in the South under Jim Crow, that economic self-sufficiency was the most realistic way for Black Americans to empower themselves.
So it was about providing people with skills to create their own opportunities.
Yeah.
To own land, to run businesses, to succeed in a system that was often working against them.
Precisely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He argued that, having those practical skills would not only lead to economic independence, but it would also, earn them respect.
From the white community.
Yeah. From the white community. And ultimately that would pave the way for more equality socially and politically.
There's a very think and act locally kind of element to that approach.
For sure. Right.
Yeah, empowering people to improve their lives and, by extension, the lives of their families and their communities.
Absolutely. And a great example of that is, the story of the brick making at Tuskegee.
Right.
They failed 3 times before they actually figured out how to make good quality bricks.
Yeah.
But that process, the process itself was so valuable.
Right. They ended up using those bricks to build new buildings on campus.
Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't just learning the trade. It was about contributing directly to the school.
Exactly. And it went even further than that. They ended up selling the bricks to the surrounding white community.
Wow.
So it created this sense of economic cooperation.
It's a tangible example,
yeah,
of bridging racial divides through economic interests.
Yeah, it was a bold move for sure.
Yeah.
But it really shows Washington's faith in taking action,
yeah,
to change hearts and minds.
And that's at the heart of thinking and acting locally, isn't it? It's about taking concrete steps.
Yeah, exactly.
To address problems, create opportunities, build a better future.
It's about realizing we don't have to wait for someone else to fix things, you know? We can make a difference right here and now.
And on that note, I think this is a good place to pause for a moment. We've covered a lot in this first part of our deep dive into Booker T. Washington's life and legacy. We've looked at his early life, his pursuit of education, and the founding of Tuskegee.
Yeah.
And we've seen how these experiences connect to this idea of thinking and acting locally, how individual action can really transform communities.
Absolutely.
And if you're enjoying this conversation and are inspired to support our mission of local action, you can visit us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
Yeah, the link is in the show notes.
We'll be back in a moment to continue our deep dive into Washington's story and explore how his philosophy on race relations continues to resonate today. Welcome back to our deep dive into Up From Slavery. As we get further into Booker T. Washington's story, I'm really interested in his views on race relations. How do those connect to the idea of thinking and acting locally?
Yeah, that's a really complicated part of his legacy. His famous Atlanta Exposition Address back in 1895 is a great example. He argued for economic cooperation between Black and white Americans, but he also seemed to accept segregation.
That sounds kind of contradictory. How do you square those two things?
Well, you have to remember what was going on at the time. Washington was living in the South during a period of intense racial prejudice and violence, right?
So he was operating in a really dangerous and difficult environment. Do you think he saw his approach as, like, a necessary compromise?
I think a lot of people believe that's exactly what it was. He felt that pushing too hard for social equality at that point could actually backfire, you know, and even be dangerous. He thought that focusing on economic progress was a more practical approach.
So he believed that by showing their economic value, Black people could eventually gain the respect of white society and achieve equality.
Yeah, that's the idea. Economic independence would lead to more social and political power down the line.
It's a fascinating argument, but it does raise some tough questions. Didn't accepting segregation just reinforce the power structures that were already in place?
Yeah, and that was a critique that many people, including some Black leaders at the time, had of him. They said he was being too accommodating, that he was basically legitimizing the system that was oppressing Black people.
It seems like there wasn't any easy agreement on how to deal with racial injustice. Even then?
No, not at all. These are really complex issues with no simple solutions.
And those debates are still going on today, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. There's no one-size-fits-all answer to the question of how to achieve racial justice. But what we can take from Washington is the importance of strategy, of adapting to the circumstances, you know, finding ways to empower ourselves and our communities, even when the system's working against us.
And that's where Think and Act Locally comes in again, right?
Yeah.
Recognizing that change often starts at the grassroots level, with individuals taking action.
Exactly. Washington's story shows us that you don't have to wait for huge societal shifts to happen to make a difference.
You can start by focusing on the things you can control.
Right. Like your education, your skills, your own business, your community.
And that can have a ripple effect, inspiring others to do the same.
Right. It builds momentum for bigger changes.
You know, thinking about Washington's emphasis on mentorship, it reminds me of the impact Armstrong had on him. Armstrong saw potential in Washington and gave him opportunities he might not have had otherwise.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, how important is mentorship in creating local action and empowerment today?
Oh, it's crucial. Mentors provide guidance, support. They inspire people to reach their potential.
And it's not always about formal programs.
No, not at all. It can be as simple as listening to someone, sharing a skill, helping them find an opportunity.
Right. We can all be mentors in our own way.
Exactly. By being present, supportive.
And by creating a culture of mentorship, we can really empower individuals to become leaders and change makers in their own communities.
Right. And speaking of leadership, one of the things that really stands out about Washington is his belief in the dignity of all work. You know, he was always emphasizing hard work, perseverance, taking pride in what you do.
He wasn't afraid of manual labor.
Not at all. He believed all work had value, deserved respect.
Like farming, building, even cleaning.
Yeah. And he instilled that in his students at Tuskegee, you know, encouraged them to see their work as part of something bigger.
Like that story about him carefully cleaning the room at Hampton. He wasn't just cleaning. He was making a point.
Exactly. And that's an idea that's still relevant today. It's not about impressing anyone. It's about striving for excellence in everything you do.
No matter how small the task might seem.
Right. It's about pushing yourself beyond just being average, you know?
It's about that internal commitment to doing your best.
Absolutely. And that applies to everything. Our jobs, our relationships, our communities.
So how can we, like, put this into practice in our own lives? How can we embrace that idea of doing a common thing in an uncommon way?
It starts with how we think about things, you know? Recognizing the potential for greatness in everything we do. Instead of just going through the motions, we should ask ourselves, how can I do this better? How can I make this exceptional?
It's about being intentional, bringing purpose to even the everyday tasks.
And it's about always trying to improve, not about being perfect right away, but always learning, growing.
I like it. It's about the journey, not just the end result.
And, you know, it ties back into Washington's emphasis on education. For him, education wasn't just about facts and figures. It was about building character, skills, a mindset of excellence.
He was a big believer in lifelong learning.
Absolutely. Always seeking new knowledge.
Which brings us back to thinking and acting locally. How can we use what we know, our skills and passions, to make a difference where we live?
Maybe it's volunteering, mentoring, or even just being more involved in local issues.
Supporting local businesses. Advocating for causes you believe in, just being a better neighbor.
There are so many ways to make a difference.
Big or small, the key is to find what you're passionate about and then take action.
And do it with purpose, with excellence, with a commitment to making things better.
That's a great point. It makes me think about how I can apply that to my own life.
And I'm sure our listeners are feeling inspired, too.
We've covered so much in this part of our dive into Booker T. Washington.
Yeah, we've talked about his views on race relations, his focus on mentorship, and his belief in the value of all work.
If you're finding this conversation helpful and want to support our mission of empowering people to think and act locally, you can go to thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
Yeah, the link's in the show notes. We'll be right back to wrap up our deep dive into Up From Slavery. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into Up From Slavery. You know, as we've been talking about Booker T. Washington's life, one thing that keeps sticking out to me is that idea of doing a common thing in an uncommon manner.
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing for Washington. He really believed in, like, striving for excellence no matter what you were doing, even if it seemed small or insignificant. It reminds me of that story about him cleaning the room at Hampton. It was more than just cleaning, right? It was like he was making a statement.
Exactly. And that idea is still relevant today. It's not about trying to impress people. It's about having that internal drive to do your absolute best.
Going beyond just being average, right? Pushing yourself to be exceptional.
Yeah. And that applies to everything in our lives, our work, our relationships, how we contribute to our community.
So how can we actually apply that idea in our own lives?
Yeah.
How do we embrace that common thing, uncommon manner approach?
Well, I think it starts with how we think about things, you know, seeing the potential for, like, doing something great in everything we do.
Not just going through the motions.
Right. Instead of just going through the motions, ask yourself, how can I do this even better? How can I make this really stand out?
So be more mindful, more intentional, even with everyday stuff.
Yeah. And it's about constantly improving. You don't have to be perfect at first, but always be learning, growing, getting better at what you do.
I love that. It's not just about the end result, but the journey of getting there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it connects back to how much Washington valued education. For him, it wasn't just about knowing things. It was about developing character, skills, a mindset of excellence.
He was all about lifelong learning.
Yeah, always looking for new knowledge and experiences.
Which brings us back to our theme, thinking and acting locally. How can we use what we know, our skills, our passions, to make a difference right where we are?
I mean, it could be volunteering, mentoring, even just getting more involved in local issues.
Supporting local businesses, advocating for causes you care about, just being a more thoughtful neighbor.
There are so many ways to contribute.
Big or small.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is finding what you're passionate about and taking action.
And doing it with purpose, with excellence, with a commitment to making your community better.
That's a really inspiring thought. It makes you want to step up and do something, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's a great way to honor Booker T. Washington's legacy. His life and work are still so relevant today. They push us to be our best, to connect with others, and to make a positive impact on the world.
As we wrap up our deep dive, I want to encourage everyone to think about what resonated with you most from Washington's story.
What lessons will you take away? What actions are you inspired to take?
Because it's not just about listening and learning. It's about turning that knowledge into action, into real change. And if you found value in this deep dive into Booker T. Washington's Up From Slavery, and you want to support our mission of empowering people to think and act locally, please visit thinkandactlocally.com/time. The link is in the show notes.
Thanks for joining us on this journey, and we look forward to diving into another fascinating topic with you soon.